This may be the shortest sermon you'll hear me preach. I don't know. I had prepared all week for a totally different subject, and I just kept praying, Lord, is this the right thing? I couldn't get anything else on my mind. And downstairs a while ago, I got something else on my mind that I just prayed, and I didn't feel like what I had prepared for was exactly what we should use today. And this thought came to me, and I really haven't even looked at these scriptures in quite a long time, but we'll do the best we can with the help of the Lord, and that's what we always look for anyway, is to find the Lord's guidance. I want to read one verse of scripture found in the Proverbs, and then I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews. In the 13th chapter of Proverbs, and 24th verse, and most of us are familiar with this verse. I've heard it over the years. It is giving a lesson on a father's responsibility with his son. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Betimes just means quickly or before it's too late. I'm not going to dwell much on this, but I'm going to go and read in just a moment from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. But he that spareth his rod hateth his son. The word hate there doesn't mean that you have a dislike for your son, but it means to regard him less. He doesn't regard him strongly enough to correct him. And that, unfortunately, is something that a lot of parents do today, is they don't correct their children. To correct a child is to help train that child up, and which also is taught to us in the Proverbs. And he that loveth chasteneth him betimes or before it's too late. So when a parent sees a child incorrectly doing something or getting off base from the principles which they are teaching, then the time to correct them is right then, not to wait. And sometimes they will talk about waiting to let your anger get down. If anger is the reason that you're doing it wrongly anyway. But it ought to be out of love that you correct your children, to want to see them grow up and develop into a responsible adult. And so this sets the stage for something we're going to look at from a spiritual standpoint, found in the Hebrew letter, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and beginning with the 6th verse, and we'll read through the 11th verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, and we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And with any reading mistakes, that's the 6 through 11 chapters, or verses of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And the Lord inspired this to be written. And I refer back to the Proverbs that talks about the relationship between the father and the son, and the caregiver with one that they have responsibility for. And we that have been saved have become God's children. And so God has the responsibility for us to behave. And he gives us direction. He gives us do's and don'ts to follow. He gives us laws to follow. He gives us ordinances to observe. He gives us precepts to build upon so that we might have a good spiritual life. And when we are going astray of that spiritual life and doing the things that he doesn't want us to do or not doing the things he wants us to do, then he will chasten. Now, he doesn't always chasten just immediately. Sometimes it is very immediate, depending on circumstances. And I can't attest to all the different circumstances that God might look at. But we see people that are out of bounds of Christian living, that it doesn't seem that they're being chastened. But chastisement comes in very many different forms. And so sometimes what we see is not what's really going on with an individual. We might think that they have no problems associated with their illicit living, but yet they might be having some very difficult situations that the Lord is working with them on. But he emphasizes here that the love, or whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And again, he loves those that are his children. Now, God loved the world enough to give his son to be the means by which we could have salvation through him. But that's a love for the conglomerate or for the whole of mankind that he had. But he has a special love to those that put their trust in his son Jesus for the salvation of their souls. So that he has a relationship that has come about because of the new birth, the spiritual birth that has taken place within their heart. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So that we have a union of love with the Lord. And he loves us as a special and peculiar people. That he wants to bless us in a special way. And a way that's peculiar to the world. But he has blessings to bestow upon us. However, when we fail to serve him, he withholds some blessings, and that might be part of the chastisement that we might have, or he might punish us in some way, whether it be mental or in spiritual coolness or in physical results that might come that bring us down. And so we have to ourselves have an understanding of what's going on in our life, because I believe when the Lord chastises us, he lets us also know what that chastisement is for. You know, just a father with their child doesn't just haul off and whack them without letting them know what they're getting a spanking for, or that they're being punished for, that they're being chastised for, because that won't do any good, because they won't know what to correct if they don't know what's wrong. And so the same thing with the Lord. I believe that when he chastises us, he will bring to our remembrance something that chastisement is for. And so it might be way in our life sometimes before that we get the real chastisement for it, but an accumulation of things that come along that we may have to face some difficulty as a result of. But it is assured based on the scripture that if the Lord loves us, if he has a relationship with us, if we are his children, he will chastise us in due season for those things that he finds difficulty in us. And it says, if we endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. In other words, we take the chastisement. You know, a child doesn't have a lot of options oftentimes when a parent is going to discipline them, whether it's a spanking or some other form of discipline. Sometimes they might try to run away from the parent. They try to get away. It's not because they want to get away from the parent. They want to get away from the hurt that they're fixing to encounter. And so this is just saying that if we endure it, or if we accept that chastisement that God gives to us, then we are dealt with as being sons or being children of God. And we understand that the chastisement is for our benefit. And so it is designed to help us to live our life in a way that is pleasing to God. And He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So by ever he's putting in here, or every son, every child, if you would, then everyone that is his child is subject to discipline, is subject to being chastised, is subject to being corrected, is subject to being taught the right things, and sometimes it's to our physical detriment or our mental detriment or our spiritual detriment as far as the blessings that we might receive, in order for us to realize that if we are to obtain the blessings that God has for us, then we should walk in the paths that he lays down for us, so that we don't come short of the things that the Lord has prepared for us. And he asked the question, if he endured chastisement, God dealeth with you as sons, for what son is whom the father chasteneth not? Or is it the father chasteneth not? Every child, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, my child has been a perfect child. He's never done anything wrong. That's not so. Everyone of us has had children. Know that they've stepped out of bounds sometimes. We might not think it's not something big, but still we have to do some little guiding to kind of get them on the right path. Sometimes some children are more outspoken about their desires to do what they want to do rather than what the parent wants them to do. And so there has to be a firmer hand used to help to discipline that child. And the same thing with God's children. Sometimes people trying to live for the Lord, they make a mistake, and it bothers them so bad, it don't take much chastisement to get them straightened up. But then there's other times when we might do something that we don't see any immediate result of anything bad happening, and we might get some pleasure out of it. We might feel like, well, hey, I got away with something. But God has a perfect record, and God is going to chastise when the time is appropriate. Because sometimes, you know, our pride might get hauled in. We get built up and think that, well, you know, we can do things other people can't do. You know, that kind of happens in this life. And people, whether it be with riches or fame or something, they feel like they're privileged and they can do things that other people can't do. And they can get by the law, or they can get by society's watch care of them, and they can do whatever they want to. But eventually, it'll catch up with them in some way or another. If it's societal things, that they may find that they have a great downfall in their popularity or in their power or whatever it might be. But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to the children of God, we're more concerned with the spiritual life that we lead. Whether we have wealth or whether we don't, whether we just get by on meager fare, or we get along okay, or we have a lot of extra, that really doesn't matter to God as far as how that we produce it, other than he blesses us according to that which we can use and that which we can properly handle, and that we give proper credit for where it comes from and use it properly in some way or another. Those things are not as important as the spiritual things, the spiritual life that we lead. Whether or not that we gain wealth or fame or recognition in this life, that's well and good if we do, as long as we don't let that override our spiritual responsibilities and walk with the Lord in accordance to his direction, so that we can be of spiritual help to other people and we receive spiritual blessings as a result of our walking with the Lord. If we do the things the Lord wants us to, then he just blesses us and he keeps blessing us. But when we get out of line, then he will withhold some blessings, or he will issue some punishment in some way or another. Now, it's not me, and this is why we're not to judge. We could look at some people and say, well, no, that's God's judgment on them. And it may well be, but it might not be too. It might be for some other reason that they're experiencing the things that they experience. It might be as a trial for them rather than for a punishment. And the same thing that happens with us. But when the trials of life come, we just pray for the strength to deal with them and to overcome them and to live through them and endure them. But when it's chastisement, I fully believe that the Lord reveals to us that those things that are occurring to us is because of our failures at some earlier time, that He may give us a wake-up call. It might be a little bit. It just might be, you know, a little pat on the bottom before it becomes a real hard spanking. But we experience those things as Christians when we fail to do the Lord's will. And everybody that is saved, everybody is subject to that chastisement. There's no favorites, even with David, who was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that seeked after the Lord's will and tried to fulfill the Lord's will, but he also failed. And when he failed, he also received punishment. He was chastised and was in many ways broken down. If you'll recall I think it's the 51st division of Psalms that David wrote concerning the loss of the joy of his salvation, that he desired to have that joy restored so that he could be influential on lost people. Because he knew that in his condition of a lack of spiritual strength, that he was not a good witness to lost people. And so he prayed that the Lord would return the joy of the salvation of the Lord to him so that he could be effective with lost people and win them to the Lord. Because when we become cold and distant to God and he chastises us with a lack of blessings or with a withdrawal of blessings as well as maybe punishment that comes, then we struggle and we say, well, Lord, I want to help you, but I just can't seem to get there. I just can't seem to get close to you. And the reason that we're not close to God is because that we have drifted some distance from him, that we have put other things more importantly in our life, that we have failed in some way or another. And so we have to go back and struggle sometimes in order to get a return of that joy and that fellowship with the Lord. But sometimes those times come that remind us that we're still in a sinful flesh and that we fail the Lord and need to get things straightened out with him. He said, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, again, all of the saved, everybody's partaker of chastisement because we all sin come short of the glory of God. He said, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. The term bastards used three times in the Bible, twice in the Old Testament and once here in the New Testament. The basic meaning of that is a child of a evil father. The child of somebody who has mistreated that father. It was oftentimes used for a child that is born out of wedlock. That father doesn't have care for that child, doesn't have care for the mother of that child, abandons that child, and so therefore is an evil father from that standpoint. It's not a term that's pleasant to use, or people don't use it now as they once did. When I was growing up, I used to hear the term used a lot. But nowadays, there are so many of those children around that meet that criteria that it just becomes a detrimental term that is not very pleasant to use, and even is not as meaningful as it once was in our society, because there's so many children born out of wedlock. To God, that birth, even though that God grants it to happen, God is still the one that has caused the conception to take place, or allowed it to take place, and caused that birth to take place. And that child is still just as important a person, but the circumstances in which it's brought into the world is not the design that God had for the procreation of mankind. It's not a good situation. As a result of that, even though that particular child might not suffer tremendous consequences personally from it, but a societal result that comes from it is a lack of concern for the sinful nature of the relationship that caused the child to be born. And then that child grows up in a situation that makes them more likely to participate in sinful activities and to engage in activities or to accept activities that would cause that to happen again and again. So therefore, it is a degradation of the morals of our society. But he said that, and I didn't mean to get off on all that, but still, that he just made point here that if a person that may claim to be a child of God can sin willfully and continue in that sin and not receive chastisement, then they better be checking out what their condition is. One good example of that was a member of the first church I pastored that was a truck driver, and he had claimed to be saved. He had been given some responsibility within the church over the years, and due to some circumstances that came about, he ended up committing adultery on several occasions when he was out on the road as a truck driver. And he heard his pastor then, which was a pastor before me there, preach a sermon on this very thing, that if you sin willfully and you don't get chastised for it, then you're a bastard or the son of an evil father. And when we're talking about religious things, that means the son of the devil, that you're a child of the devil. And so therefore, if you're not receiving chastisement for our sinful deeds that you're doing, then you better check out what the condition of your soul really is. And as a result of that, he started looking at his life and he said, well, I haven't got any chastisement for this. I just thought I was getting away with it. While he was out on the road, he pulled off, matter of fact, around Mount Juliet, that he pulled off on the road and got saved sitting there in his truck. It was a little while after I got there, his pastor, that one Sunday he got up in church after we preached and service, there was a good spirit there, and he just got up and he made a comment when he had told the church many years ago that he was saved, that he wasn't really saved, and that he wanted to get things right. And I said, well, here's a good place to come. He just headed to the altar. And he prayed for a good little while. Got up a little bit later with a big smile on his face. And he recounted to us the fact that he'd gotten saved, actually, in his truck down around Mount Juliet exit down here. He came to the altar just to make sure that that was right. And he apologized to the church, he apologized to his wife, he apologized for the conditions that he had found himself in that was immoral. He, from that point on, has taken off and has become a very strong member of the church as a deacon. Matter of fact, he's moved his membership. He's a member of another church now. He's a deacon, and I think very highly of him and his wife and children also. Just from hearing that message, you recognize that I've been doing some awful things and I'm not getting any kind of chastisement from God over it. That indicated to him that maybe I'm not saved. He started searching his heart out and found out that he was not right with God. A person that can continue in sin and not receive chastisement in a spiritual nature from God, then you better be checking out the salvation and make sure that everything is okay with the Lord, because you might not be a child of God after all. And he said, furthermore, beyond that, have the fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. In other words, we respected them. You know, at the time it wasn't pleasant, as he says a little later on. It wasn't pleasant to be punished. As time goes on, we see the benefit of our parents giving correction to our lives and giving direction for our lives so that we can walk in appropriate ways later on. And so we reverence or respect our parents for the chastisement that they gave us or the correction they gave us to make things well with us. And he said, just as it is with our father when he corrects us, he said, Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So we ought to be even more thankful that God corrects us. And I've certainly experienced that in times when I've been corrected and chastised of the Lord. And after it's over with, it's not pleasant at the time, but after it's over with, there's joy that comes from getting back on track with the Lord. And finding his blessings to be restored and to be enjoyed once again. So we need to give even greater thanksgiving to God for correcting us, even though that we don't like it at the time. But he said it doesn't seem to be joyous, and certainly doesn't. Every one of us can attest to that. I'm sure that when the Lord has corrected us, it was not a joyous occasion. It's not a joyous occasion to have to go to the principal's office to get some correction. It's not a joyous occasion to have to go to the parents, or it's not a joyous occasion to get dressed down by your boss because you've done something wrong at work. You know, those are not pleasant things to happen. And it certainly is not pleasant to have to go before God and be corrected by him. But once the correction is made, God is a loving Father, and he forgives us, and then helps us to go on. And he brings the joy back, and it increases even in our life. We have to be careful, though, because even as David had sinned greatly, that sin carried on with him the rest of the life, the consequences of it. Because our sins have consequences. It has something that is negative that's going to happen as a result of our sin. Now, if there's something, and again, God has to make this determination, I guess, that's a small sin or something that's not really harmful to us, but it's just something that we need correcting on, then that we may not see any long-term problems. But some people will go long times in sinful activities that might be outside of the law, it might be outside of social mores, it might be outside of the things that are acceptable even among the people that they're around, and that found out oftentimes can cause scars in their lives that are very difficult to recover from if they ever recover at all. But what can happen is that the Lord can forgive us after our chastisement, and we repent of that failure and get his forgiveness, that he can give us strength to have to face and deal with those circumstances. I know you've heard the stories, and I've heard numbers of them, of people. In fact, I recounted one last week, to some degree anyway, a man that had been a heavy drinker, and he had done things that were outside of what he should have done, and he got saved, and so those things were forgiven him, but people still have a remembrance of the way he used to be. And so he's having to live with the way that he had conducted his life then, even though that he's saved now, and can say, well, that was my past. And some of us, though, that are saved, get off track far enough that it tarnishes our life to make it difficult for people to have faith in us again, even though that God forgives us. And so the best thing we can do is just go on and serve the Lord and present ourselves as a living sacrifice before him. And eventually people will see that is something that's really working in our life, and that we're not the same as we were, that we've overcome those things by the help of the Lord. And so chastisement is to our benefit, for our strength, for our growth, for our encouragement, for our capabilities of gathering even greater help from the Lord, that we can go on and overcome the problems that we had, overcome the sins that we've done, and become a more effective worker for the Lord. But the Lord does chastise us according to that which we do in error, and that we are found wanting in. And that's our message today. I hope that in some way or another will help us and bless us. We all face those times of chastisement. Hopefully, as we grow older and we grow closer to the Lord, it's less and less that we have to face those times of chastisement. But still, be it known that when we fail the Lord, there's going to be a reckoning for that, that we're going to have to pay. And so, knowing that our sins will find us out, the Bible tells us, and whether it's found out by everybody around us, it's certainly found out by the Lord. And as much as David thought he had hidden his sins, God sent Nathan to him to tell him that you're the man, you're the one that did this. And so God knows, and God will bring it to justification at some point. I don't know if there's anybody here that's lost for the salt of God. I'm for you if you are. Brethren, we could just have a song. And if the Lord gives you something to do, then you fulfill what he gives you.
126. Alas, and did my Savior flee, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart roll away, it was there by faith I received my sight.
Brother James Parker, would you pray this one?
Hand him the Father with that.